Hey everybody, welcome back to the Multiverse Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Dean Holzapfel. With me, as always, is my co-host, George Rogers. And we're here to celebrate a birthday of somebody special. That's me, fuckers. It's my birthday. Well, not at the time of recording this. My birthday's tomorrow.
They don't know that.
Yeah, that's true.
We could literally say any day. We could say that it is, I don't know, September 11, 2001, and they would believe us because
Whoa.
they don't know when we're recording.
Whoa. I didn't know we were pitching a comedy.
I just picked the day.
It's something about that day that just sticks out in my head.
Oh,
Oh,
it's never for I have a
Slayer
hard
had an
time
album
forgetting.
come out that day. I think it was God Hates Us All.
Oh wait, I think Jurassic Park 3 came out this day.
Oh, wait a minute. John Ritter died too.
Yes. 2 years later.
Was it? I thought it was the same day.
No, it was two years
Oh,
later. Yeah.
okay. But well, 21 years. So you know what that means, everybody. The tradition, since we started it, we're doing a Star Wars movie, and we're doing arguably the most divisive Star Wars movie in the franchise.
It's like the worst tradition since, I don't know, Easter.
I mean, listen, I love Star Wars. I love most Star Wars, and I do preface the word most because it is the vast majority of it that I do love. But this movie is pretty divisive. George, would you say this movie is divisive? I know everybody knows what I'm talking about. It's The Last Jedi, folks. Do you think this is more divisive than like The Phantom Menace?
Extremely.
Yeah, because that movie was pretty divisive.
Here's the thing. The Phantom Menace was divisive when it came out because people didn't know how to like react to it because it was like a new Star Wars movie. It was almost a good 20 years in between movies. For
14, no,
Phantom Menace
16.
16. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, people just want to hate on because of there wasn't as much action in the Phantom Menace as there was all the storylines I had to build up, which now, like going back, which you and I have always loved the prequel trilogy. There's
Yeah,
no
always
bones about
have.
that. You and I have always flown the flag for Lucas and the prequels. We love them. Even Attack of the Clones, which is
I
probably the
still enjoy
weak,
that movie.
which is the weakest. There is still a lot to be enjoyed with that movie, mainly everything that isn't on Naboo
Yeah,
is
I mean, even the
extremely good.
stuff I don't, even the stuff I dislike on Geonosis, it's like I said in our review, it was predominantly because I thought the CGI was terrible. It took me out of the movie 20 years ago. It still takes me out now.
This is divisive on a whole different spectrum, I think,
I agree.
because there's people like me who, I mean, yes, I've been checked out of Star Wars, and this was the movie that kind of pulled me out of being like, I don't know what the fuck is going on with this sequel trilogy. I don't know what it was. This movie, it seemed like there was so much going on in such a small amount of time. Not like runtime, because the movie was 2.5 hours long, but like the time in the movie, it just seemed like it was like over the course of 3 days.
Yeah.
And it was just so much that was just going on that you had to kind of pay attention to at one time. And a lot of just kind of unnecessary exposition and poorly executed dialogue, not badly written, so to speak. But you could tell when some characters were saying stuff, it literally just sounded like they had just read it and they just said it as it was written on the paper with no inflection or emotion behind the voice. But a lot of people look at this movie and go, and they look at it with the where Rey is the Mary Sue. She can do no wrong, she's infallible, she's perfect in every way.
Which I'm going to be honest with you, I don't get the Mary Sue from her in this movie. I get the Mary Sue from her from 7 and 9,
Yes.
because she just so happened to know how to do. How did she even know what the Jedi mind trick was?
Yeah.
That's
That's the
where,
thing,
and we
yeah.
talked about that with the Force Awakens. That's a Mary Sue. I don't think she really came off as that in this movie. I look at you. I mean, I could see where people, but like this is of this trilogy, this is the movie I get it the least of her, being a Mary Sue. I mean, I actually like her in this movie, opposed to The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. I'm sorry, The Force Awakens and The Rise of Skywalker, where I hate her in The Rise of Skywalker, and I am just indifferent about her in The Force Awakens. And again, this is the movie I would say I like the characters the most. Like, I don't like Poe in The Force Awakens or The Rise of Skywalker at all. I think he...
I really like Poe in this.
Yeah, like, I thought he was good in this. And
but I also think that's think that's a testament to Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, because he's not having to say somehow Palpatine returned.
But, like, you can tell...
somehow like, you'll get filled in 10 years later.
Yeah, like, he's got, like, a natural kind of charisma to his voice. Like, when he talks, like, to where I'm not looking at Oscar Isaac playing Poe Dameron. I'm looking at the embodiment of the character of Poe Dameron on screen.
Yeah, like,
kind of like how when we look at Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark. I'm not looking at Robert Downey Jr. I'm looking at fucking Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Which made it really interesting when I was watching Weird Science the other day. And I'm like, oh, fucking Tony Stark.
I'm shitting in my pants.
we're going to
movie history.
we got to put that on the docket for next year because that'd be 40 years next year.
Yeah, I love that movie. I love that show too.
And we met Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah. Or as I call him, Michael Anthony Hall, because I'm retarded.
Yeah, because you thought he was doing the Michael Anthony twirl.
Yeah. But this movie's not perfect. I'm not trying to say it's perfect at all. Far from perfect, right? That's the bane of all the sequels. Whether you like him, you hate him, love him, whatever, indifferent, they are far from perfect. Even if you love this movie or The Force Awakens or, God forbid, The Rise of Skywalker, none of these movies are close to perfect. I just think this is the best of the sequel trilogy. I think it's the second best. It's tough because I still think the best movie Lucasfilm has put out since Disney has purchased them is Dial Destiny. I know a lot of people didn't like it because he was old and crabby, but I still think it's a fantastic movie.
What did you expect from a 70-year-old Indiana Jones?
I don't understand. I thought it was like perfect. As the biggest Indiana Jones fan in the world, probably. That's I'm sure there's people bigger than me.
We're fans of the Indiana Jones franchise, so we liked it for what it was because in that franchise, nothing is too extreme.
Ladies and gentlemen, I bought an Xbox Series X 9 months in advance because there's an Indiana Jones game coming out for it in December. That's how much I love Indiana Jones. All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's going to sell and rebuy that 3 times before the game comes
because
out.
Because it's also my 4K player now too, because I bought the X. So it's got the disc drive in it. So I now have a reason to watch my physical media in my room again.
Agree to disagree, because I know you.
I'll find something else to sell.
That's fair.
Sell
your booty.
Yeah. So now, everybody, I will openly admit that this is a movie that I did not like when I first saw it. But unlike most people, the stuff with Luke did not bother me at all. What I disliked about this movie, I hated literally everything else in the movie, like everything. If it wasn't Luke on Crait, I hated it. I'm sorry, Luke on Octo, I hated it. I thought it was dog shit. So I'm not one of those people that was like, oh, that's not my Luke Skywalker. That's Jake Skywalker. Blah, blah. No, I thought it was like, I mean, you wanted him to be this OP character. And that's exactly what he did. People are just pissed off that he just didn't show up physically on Crait and be Goku, which I don't think would have aged well at all. I think you would look at it now, 7 years on, going like, this is kind of cheesy, right? Like, you watch The Force Awakens now, right? It's still a pretty good movie. But there are some stuff in The Force Awakens I just go, this is a cheesy J.J. Abrams made for TV movie. I feel the same way, I hate to say it, about The Avengers. I love that movie. But there's some stuff in The Avengers that go, this is kind of cheesy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, some stuff in Avengers has not particularly aged all that well.
Yeah. So I don't know. I really like this movie. Again, it's hard for me to explain. But I guess it was because I went into it with a bad idea, with this was going to suck. It sucked. And then I didn't watch it for 2 years. And then I watched it with an open mind. And I was like, no, all right, this isn't that bad. And then I the more I watched it, I was kind of like, okay, I think this is better than The Force Awakens. Like, I do think I prefer this movie. So let's, okay, George, when did you first see this movie? Because I know you didn't see it in theaters.
I did not see this in theaters. In fact, not only did I not see this in theaters, but the weekend it came out, which... as Dean will tell you when he rolls through the breakdown, was it was in December of the year that it came out. I don't remember what year.
17.
Amy and I went to we went to Walmart the weekend it came out, and that was back when the sequin pillows were the big thing. You remember when they
were
the biggest thing in the world for a while?
I remember, you sent me the picture of what you did. I remember that.
We wrote on the pillows, like in the sequins, Luke dies at the end. Mm-hmm. So just to kind of spoil it for everybody else, which I guess spoiler alert, fuckers haven't seen it yet. But if, I mean, I, as I always say, if you haven't seen the movie, why are you listening to our review of a movie you haven't seen?
Yeah. And if you care about spoilers.
No, right? This, I watched it when it went to TV.
Yeah. And it was a while before you watched it too. I remember that.
Yeah.
It wasn't like it came to Disney Plus and you were like, I got to watch The Last Jedi.
I'm pretty sure this was like during COVID when I called it. So, it was actually after Rise of Skywalker came out too, because I heard what a turd that was. I'm like, well, is this just as bad as what I'm hearing with Rise of Skywalker? And then I watched this. And then when Rise of Skywalker made TV, I watched that. And I was like, holy shit, I can't believe this movie is worse than The Last Jedi.
It's like in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 when he goes, sorry, trash panda. And he goes, is that worse? He goes, it's so much worse.
Yeah.
That's how the Rise of Skywalker is compared to this. Somehow, it was worse than The Last Jedi.
We should make them. It's like, stop calling me The Last Jedi. It's like, oh, sorry, I mean The Rise of Skywalker. Is that better? No, it's much worse. I'm going to make it when we're done.
Yes, that's fucking brilliant. And that's how I was when I saw The Rise of Skywalker. I was still like, I hate The Last Jedi. And when I left the theater going to see The Rise of Skywalker, I was like, somehow that was worse. I don't understand how that movie was worse than this one.
Hey, but now I do. Hey, but just like the third movie in every trilogy, it's given us the best memes.
Yeah, it's true. So, what else? I was going to say something. You brought up the fact that you had been spoiling, Luke died and stuff like that. That's something that also never bothered me.
I also spoiled Infinity War at Staples.
That's true, you did. I'll tell everybody now, I only have a problem with Luke dying because Carrie Fisher died in real life. They should have absolutely just been like, okay, listen, Luke's got to live for the third movie. I don't understand how hard it would have been if he would have just not died at the end of this movie. Like, you just cut the credits when he's sitting on the rock on Octo, looking at the sun. That's it. That's exactly how you need to end the movie. And then he could have died in the next movie. I don't care. Hey, listen, man, Luke dies of a heart attack at 63 in the old EU. It's so anticlimactic. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, Luke Skywalker's dead. That's the end of it. There's no like, holy shit, he force projected across the galaxy, or holy shit, we fucking, spirit bombed fucking Frieza into oblivion, because everybody wants him to be Goku. He just was like, remember how Leia dies in Rise of Skywalker? She's like, oh, I'm tired, I gotta take a nap, and then she just disappears. That's how she dies in the EU. He just dies. It's so anticlimactic. So
the princess knows what she must do. Like a fucking nap.
Again, I tell people 1,000 times. I read like 75% of the EU, right? So don't try to school me on the EU. And I'll tell you right now, the 75% that I did read, half of that wasn't very good. All right. There's some incredible stuff in the EU, but there's some also nonsensical stuff in the EU too. Like Glup Shitto.
Hey, you leave Glup Shitto alone, man. I don't know why you always gotta talk shit on such an iconic character.
I'm sorry. I can't wait till we get the Rise of Skywalker and talk about the giant penis monster that clawed the savior of the whole movie.
Hey, do me a favor, win the war.
That's Bulio. The only reason I know that because it's Mark Hamill. He goes, win the war in his tip in his every voice he does that's not the Joker voice now.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's read some stuff here. Let's read some stuff here. All right.
I think at this point we should do it at the end because we've already jumped into this thing beat first. But
I'll read it real fast, right?
Yeah.
The Star Wars Episode VIII: The Last Jedi, released December 15th, 2017, $300 million budget. Well, I think that does include marketing, because when you watch the director and the Jedi, which is the making of this movie, you actually see him sign the budget deal, and it does say $200 million on it. So unless they went over budget, which is possible, especially with big blockbusters, especially with fucking Disney movies now. But this movie did make well over $1 billion. So enough people did like this movie to for it to reach $1.3 billion. That's nothing to sneeze at, right? That's a pretty good amount of money. So apparently enough people like this movie for it to surpass Rogue One, which is a movie that everybody thinks that is the best Star Wars movie ever, or one of, you know. I think I do love Rogue One, but Rogue One's got some bad line reading too. But anyway,
really, a farming man of your talents.
See, that's look who the actor is.
I mean, it's Ben Mendelsohn. I want him in every fucking
everything,
role.
Everything. I want him playing everybody in every franchise.
They should find a way to get him in that new Harry Potter series.
I agree. He should be Dumbledore. Harry, farming a man of your talents.
Oh, Harry, you were this close to greatness. Tom Riddle, you were this close to greatness.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Snape goes, you think that gives you power over me?
He's Bane now, apparently.
Snape is now Bane in my version, guys.
I'm fine with that.
Call him Snape Bane.
Written and directed by Rian Johnson, who I do think is a good filmmaker. I've enjoyed both Glass Onion movies. I do enjoy this, and I like Looper.
I like Glass Onion a little. I like Glass Onion more than I like more than I like Knives Out.
Yeah, I meant to say both Knives Out movies, and mm-hmm. I agree. A smidgen like Glass Onion more. I think the cast is a little bit better, and personally, yeah. If you want my honest opinion.
Yeah.
Obviously, based on the characters by George Lucas. Listen, this is the same cast as The Force Awakens, except for they added
Kelly Marie Tran
and Laura Dern and Benicio del Toro. That's the difference.
They could have not even had Benicio del Toro in this movie.
He serves zero purpose at all, but I actually like this character. I just wish he didn't have that weird stutter. But it's Benicio del Toro. Right, I'm going to like every character he does.
It's funny because when we were watching...
He should have just been the collector.
It's funny because when we were watching this, Kevin's like, how come he... Kevin's like, why is he playing his character from The Usual Suspects?
That's good. Yep, George Lucas... did the music. It's, you know,
John Williams did
I'm sorry, yes. Not I'm just George looking Lucas. At George Lucas. Yes, I'm sorry. John
Williams. You stare at George Lucas an awful lot.
Yeah. It's the key to everything.
Yeah, okay.
Run this way. You know, I mean, that's nothing new. I know we kind of blew through that, but come on. It's the same exact cast as the previous movie, except for those two people. And we've already basically started this review. So, George, let's just kind of start with...
Let's just continue on with where we're at, except now we're just going to get into the crux of the plot as opposed to us talking about what did and didn't work for us. I mean, this picks up literally like a day after the end of,
and that was kind of marketed that this movie was, it had been kind of rumored that it was going to take place like right after The Force Awakens. So people were kind of like, well, what's the point of the crawl? Right. Cause you just saw The Force Awakens. Right.
The crawl is basically just The Force Awakens.
Just like if you watch A New Hope, you get to watch Rogue One for the first opening 3.5 minutes, because that's all Rogue One was the crawl from A New Hope.
But it was executed beautifully, though.
Yes, I do like the fact that it actually does pick up almost where the Force Awakens left off. I think it kind of works. Like I've always said to people, especially now that it's a movie I like. I think Force Awakens and this do work decently as setup and sequel, right? They for me, it works for the most part. There obviously are dumb shit in this movie too. There's dumb shit in just like the other two. But I do think that the opening to this movie, outside my least favorite part of the movie, it kind of works. That's that whole little space battle, and then the dreadnought comes in. I think that all kind of works.
The dreadnought looked fan fucking tastic, by the way.
Yeah,
like I am gonna say I thought.
Yeah, I like that. I like the fact that it's kind of got a siren, kind of like it's a battleship or like a sub coming through. I'm gonna say it's my least favorite part of the movie, and people are gonna not believe me. This prank call. This is as bad as Jedi Rocks for me. Like. I hate this fucking scene more than Mary Poppins Leia, more than anything else in this. This very well might be my least favorite scene of all of the sequel trilogy. Is this prank call, the mama joke that Poe does to Hux. It has no place being in Star Wars, in my opinion. No,
not at all.
Not at all. It is cringeworthy.
Like, it doesn't work because you don't get comedy in this sort of form in the Star Wars universe. Yeah, you get like a quip from Han Solo, sure, or you get like a sarcastic mark, you know, where like 3PO is reacting to some beeps from R2 or something like that, you know, but like this is like was just bad, forced in, and doesn't mesh at all.
Nope.
I mean, I get it. Poe is an arrogant, he's an asshole.
Mm-hmm. But this could have been better. You could have had him be quippy and snarky in a totally different way than just a really lame prank call, you know, a your mama joke. Like this is like Die Another Day, Halle Berry on the thing about to be tortured. She's like, your mama. It's that's how bad this is to me. Like it is, I think it's the worst scene. I'll even just say it. I know I said it's the worst scene in the sequel trilogy. I think it's the worst scene in all of Star Wars.
Oof.
It's so bad. It's so bad, especially because it's in a pretty good opening scene of the movie, too.
Yes.
Like I said, like it's visually a great opening scene. You get some great space fighting, right? There's consequences to it because Poe's a little bit of a hothead. And then it's so bogged down by just a really shitty fucking joke. Like, I expect that from, like, I don't know.
I expect that from Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
That's a Joss Whedon
like,
move.
I expect that from Joss Whedon and James Gunn. Now, I'm not knocking James Gunn, but like guys who inject a lot of comedy into their stuff. You know what I mean? Like Rian Johnson's a pretty decently serious writer. And for him, I would assume that was probably mandated. Like, oh, put some quips in there because everything had to have quips, especially in 2017. Everything had to have quips in it because Tony Stark was quippy in everything he did.
Yeah.
Right. Love Tony Stark, but everything had to be quippy because of Tony Stark.
But that's the character. That's the thing. What nobody realizes. That's the character.
Which is fine. But not everything else needed to be like Tony Stark.
Understood.
And that's what I mean by that. Like everything didn't need that. And unfortunately, everybody was like, we need to earn Tony Stark. And like, oh damn, it's not Tony Stark, asshole. Right? Like
no.
So
he would have been playing AC/DC in his X-Wing.
Yeah. I enjoy this opening space battle. I thought this was pretty good.
I mean, there's a lot that goes on with the opening space battle because it's, you know, he's taking out the surface guns on the dreadnought, and it's just and that's like the whole plan. That's why he's like this one single X-wing fighter who's going. And they're like, oh, a single X-wing fighter, and then they realize what he's doing. Like, oh, he's taking out our surface guns.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like when they realize what he's doing, it's just like ah shit. Like all right, release the fleet. And then they go to call Poe back, and he's like, no, like we got a chance to take out a dreadnought. You know, let's not sleep on this.
Yeah.
Let's fucking do it. I mean, he wipes out his entire fucking squadron in the process, including the bombers, which I am confused about something with the bombers.
Why they move so slow?
No. I understand why ships move slow because they're carrying a lot of bombs. And you probably can't go very fast due to, you know, the volatile nature of what you're carrying. But why did they fall down? You're in space. As soon as they open up, they should just go wherever.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the common theory is that there was some sort of gravity activation with it.
Uh-huh. Okay. But
I guess. Why is there fire in space too at the same time? That, you know what I mean? But yeah, like I get that, right? Like,
yeah,
or but how about this? Why not just use Y wings that shoot proton torpedoes that shoot them down? You know, I mean, the ships are cool. I get it. They were supposed to be modeled after like an old bomber.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. You know, but
I mean,
like,
it's,
I guess then, maybe like there's a magnetic, I don't know. Again, you shouldn't have to spoon feed things to people, but also people shouldn't be like, I don't get why that's working. But then again, at the same time, like I said, there's fire in space, and fire doesn't exist in space because there's no oxygen in space for the fire to erupt.
Listen, of all the things that happened in space in this movie, the fire is the least is the least bullshit. So
correct.
But the at the same time, all this is going on. Snoke is dressing down Kylo Ren for his failure in losing a lightsaber battle to somebody who's never held a lightsaber before. Rightfully so. He should be dressed down.
I always thought was like a fucking shot across the bow to J.J. Abrams, because it was ridiculous that Rey ever beat Kylo Ren. Even though I like that, I do enjoy that lightsaber battle at the end of Force Awakens, and I get it, he was wounded and all that stuff, but I felt like this was kind of like, like Rian Johnson was like, don't worry, I hear everybody, because I also was like, that's fucking stupid, right? But I'm also about to piss you off.
Oh, you're about to piss me. Oh, you're talking about
About Rian Johnson pissing everybody else off.
Yeah, so basically, Snoke like coaxes Kylo to go. You killed your father with no hesitation. It's like, but there's still a bit of your mother in there. It's just like, oh, you motherfucker. It's like, all right. So then he goes. He has another Kylo Ren temper tantrum, which is the last time we'll see him do a Kylo Ren temper tantrum. Mm-hmm. In that vein, because I was like, I was done with that after the whole him in Force Awakens, like using his lightsaber and beating the shit out of a console. And then him
the first
smashing
time
his
it was funny. First time it was funny. And then when he did it a second time, I was like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I get the temper to me. It's because he's breaking the helmet. So, just out of frustration.
This one didn't bother me, because listen, I've lost my shit before in Smash things.
Yep. Hey, who hasn't?
Yeah.
We've been there. I love the look of Kylo's TIE fighter. I always have.
Yeah, the silencer. I think it's a sick looking ship. I really
do. It's so fucking good. And when it fucking barrel rolls in space.
Yeah. Do a barrel roll.
It's a thing of fucking what? Yeah. you playing too extreme on the PlayStation 1 over there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, I know you are.
I like his. I mean, listen. I thought Kylo looked great in The Force Awakens. I think he looks great in this because he isn't wearing the helmet, which is, I'm a fan of his helmet. I think it looks pretty cool. But I like that he looks, I like the fact that for the first two movies, he was portrayed as almost like a prince, right? Mm. Like, cause he is royalty, right? Yeah. So I like that he always had, especially in this, it just looked like he had a very like a regal attire on, and then just the way his hair looked. I always just, I like the way he looks in this movie. And I personally think this is the movie that Adam Driver is the best in as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's absolutely the best. Oh, I can save 16% if I sign up. I'm not signing up. We'll just take a quick break.
I'm going to get right to this and then we'll take a break and then I'll pick it up, because I have to kind of branch just because of where we're going. Mm-hmm. But where Kylo does hesitate and is wiping out the bridge of the transport ship, mm-hmm. which is where his mother is.
Yeah.
Princess or General Leia Organa Skywalker.
Shuffling around like somebody's grandmother.
Shuffling around. I like when she looks at 3PO. It's like, 3PO, wipe that look off your face. And
she was
like,
great in this movie too.
Yeah.
I
bet she would have been someone really cool with to hang out like at a bar.
Hang out and do cocaine with?
I imagine we were talking about. I'm like, she's gonna look over and see 3PO. I'm like, 3PO, why don't you wipe that look off your face and give Mama a bump? She's get through this. and then I made
R2's got the stash.
No. I'll tell you who's got the stash. BB-8 has the stash, because this weekend she's gonna get ripped on a BB-8 ball.
Unkar Plus got the stash.
One quarter portion. I made a joke about a BB-8 ball for the weekend, and Kevin almost pissed his pants.
So I believe it.
I felt pretty good at that.
Surprised he just doesn't piss his pants anyway.
I mean, he does, but that's neither here nor there. But the other ships, they wipe out the command bridge, and Princess Leia and kind of glossed over there, but the king himself, Admiral Akbar, got sucked out in the space. But we're not even going to fucking talk about that.
Nope.
I mean, well, I guess we'll just gloss over that legend. He died for our fucking sins.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have to tell you. You understand. You get it. You were there. Mm-hmm. And then, hey, we've learned a lot of things about the Force through 8 movies.
Mm-hmm.
And one, I guess we'll I guess we'll call it 9 movies if you include Rogue One. You know, we've learned a lot about the Force. We've had a lot of fun here today. Here's something I didn't know the Force could do. Make you survive in space.
Yeah, it's real touchy because I think I remember something in the EU kind of like that. And there was something along the lines of that in Rebels, but it was not like clearly Leia had been floating out there for a hot minute. Like, mm-hmm. I think in Rebels, it was like instantaneous. I don't know if everybody heard me snap my fingers. It was more like in and out. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, she was out there for a bit.
I don't like this scene in the movie.
And then she kind of floats her way back too, which I don't like it. You talk about scenes that seem out of place. That right there could have been the farewell to Leia's character.
Yeah, I
that
mean,
we should have got when Carrie Fisher died. And I understand why they didn't want to do it, because like, oh, it would be a dishonor to her legacy. But from everything that you read, anybody who knows Carrie Fisher, like, that's what she would have wanted anyway.
Yeah,
she would have wanted that.
There are stuff later in the movie that I really love. Like, I love the scene where they're standing on Crait and she's standing right by the door, and she's got her collar up over her face, and you just see her eyes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a great visual. But I feel like if you weren't going to just be like, okay, well, listen, I'm one of the people who think that I would have been completely happy that if the crawl for episode 9 came up and they were just like, General Leia had been assassinated, I would have been like, okay, I'm fine with that. Like, I'm okay with you just telling me she's been assassinated.
I mean, it could have literally opened up with her funeral.
Yeah, like, if we're going to do that, then I do think cutting her out of the right, they had, and that's what does piss me off about this movie. You had a year. The movie was done filming. They were in post, and she died a full year before this movie came out. You could have just went back in for a few reshoots. Again, cut the ending of the movie to where Luke lives, and then she's just not in the rest of the movie. You just got to figure it out. You know what I mean? You got to figure out what to do. This is where she dies, right? If that's what you're going to do. If you're not going to just write her off, like Luke survives, write her off in the crawl for episode 9. This is where you had to do it. It just is. It's a dumb. It's still, again, it's not my least favorite thing in the movie. I don't like it though. I do roll my eyes at it every time I watch this movie because it is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But you know, it's. I guess it probably would be my third least favorite scene in the movie. The other one is Rey going, "I saved you, silly." I'm sorry.
No, and she says, "I saved you, dummy."
Not Ray.
Rose Tico. Rose Potato.
Yeah. I mean, we'll talk about it. Let's take a break real fast, everybody, and we'll be right back on the other side of this. All right, we're back.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, we're here.
So.
Damn,
what did we get?
We were on such a roll, and that break kind of killed my momentum. I don't even remember what we were talking about.
We talked about Leia kind of force flying her way through space and somehow coming out the other side of that.
Somehow.
Kind of a recurring theme with the sequel trilogy is just that word, somehow.
I hope that whenever in the Mandalorian universe, there's that true direct link to the sequel trilogy that, like, let's say it's like a bunch of Imperials going like, oh, this is the cloning chambers of Snoke. And then they'll be like, oh, what do we call it? They'll be like, somehow.
Fucking please. Fucking please. Don't tease. Somehow. Operation somehow. All right, so back to this.
Yeah.
Let's get to the reason why anybody actually wanted to go see this movie to begin with, and it was Luke Skywalker.
Uh-huh.
So here we are on Octo, and we pick up right where the end of The Force Awakens happened, where Rey gives the lightsaber to Luke. He takes it, looks at it, tosses it behind himself, and then walks away.
I don't hate the fact that he tossed the lightsaber behind him. I get it. But I do kind of like, I don't think, I think it could have been done where it wasn't for laughs. You know what I mean? It feels like a very like, fuck this thing. Opposed to just like, get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean? Like instead of tossing it over his shoulder, maybe he should have just kind of like turned around and just heaved it and then just walked away.
He should have just dropped it and then walked away.
Or he could have dropped
it been
or,
fine
stabbed,
with that.
Or stabbed her in the fucking head.
Written and directed by George Lucas. The movie ends there.
And he takes off his fucking mask and it's Jar Jar underneath.
Misa back.
Misa said me be back. Maya spec.
Anyway, so and this pissed off a lot of people. Like, oh, Luke wouldn't do that. Once again, yes, he fucking would. Once you know the context of everything, so Luke did try reopening, you know, retraining the Jedi, but he sensed darkness in Kylo Ren that I guess he couldn't save, even though he was able to save his father, but he couldn't do this. But whatever, that's neither here nor there. And then he was going to kind of take out Kylo before he became a real problem. But instead, Kylo fought back and the Jedi Temple got destroyed. Kylo took some of the trainees with him, slaughtered the rest, and burned the temple to the ground. So, So, I mean, Luke kind of lost his way with the Force and he's just done with it. And he went to Octo to die. And I get it. Because of where he is. And then once he realized everything that happened, you know, before, because Luke was actually, you know, once those movies are filmed, he was able to go back and watch what happened in episodes 1 through 3. And he's like, oh my God, this is what happened? Fuck this. I don't want to be a Jedi.
I also want to tell people, you know, the people who go, George Lucas would have never done that. I hate to break the news to everybody. The Luke Skywalker that we got in episode 7 and 8 is the exact same Luke Skywalker we would have gotten in George Lucas' movies. Because the little bit we do know about his sequel trilogy was that Luke was always supposed to end up becoming a Colonel Kurtz type character.
Yeah.
He was never supposed to be Goku like everybody wanted him to be. People would have bitched about Luke Skywalker regardless because Lucas has always said, I have the art of book for The Force Awakens. And in it is the early concept art for George Lucas's episode 7. Luke was always supposed to be Colonel Kurtz. That was always where Lucas wanted to take his character.
Because
the original ending of Return of the Jedi, we talked about this when we talked about Return of the Jedi, was not supposed to be Luke rejoining them for a big old party with the Ewoks. He was supposed to go off and find his sister, which originally was not Leia. That was all done in late stages because Lucas was like, I don't want to do a 7th movie now, you know? So what he probably figured was he'll make episode 7 basically how it would have ended, how episode 6 would have ended, and somehow he would have tied it up to where he'd become somehow he would have become that character, that Colonel Kurtz type character. So the Luke we got was, I'm telling you right now, most of George Lucas's episode 7 was episode 7 and 8. They just basically split that movie into 2 movies. That's basically what happened.
Yeah.
Obviously, Abrams and oh my God, what's his name? Why am I drawing a blank? The guy who co-wrote the movie with J.J. Abrams. Directed Silverado.
Lawrence Kasdan?
Yes, Lawrence Kasdan. And then Rian Johnson. They obviously got to do what they wanted to do as well, but they were
how did you forget the director of Body Heat?
Yeah, that's true. Oh my God. They were probably like, hey, listen, this is the template we're going to use. They said it was a plan because it's based, like I said, from what I've and don't listen to the people out there that tell you that George Lucas's sequel trilogy would have had Darth Maul and Darth Talon in it. That was a rough draft he wrote 20 years ago that was not the treatment that he turned over to Disney and was going to make when everybody signed their contracts before Lucas sold the company to Disney.
I'm going to tell you why I think it is that this movie is so divisive with Star Wars fans.
Mm-hmm.
It's because with where we are now, technology wise, and we have the internet at our fingertips and we got social media and we can, you know, everyone can basically say whatever the hell they're thinking at any time and put it up on the internet. We know we literally do this once a fucking week. You know, we put this shit up on the internet. Is really, I mean, our reviews are just our opinions. People do agree with us. Some people disagree with us. Doesn't
Yeah.
matter. But I think what it is with Star Wars and with this is that everybody had their own different theories as to what these movies were going to be and what they wanted them to be. And when they didn't pan out to what they had already built up in their heads, they fucking shot it down. Like, oh, this is awful. This is terrible. It's like, why? Because this wasn't what you
It
wanted.
was,
Do
it's
you
just
call
like
it
the
bad?
prequels. Except for, I really don't think the sequels will be as not revered, but looked at fondly, like by a lot of people now, as the prequels have been. The prequels, I think the prequels were ripped apart because of what you just said. It wasn't what people thought. But then when time went by and a lot of people went back and revisited those movies, they were like, this isn't that bad at all. This is actually pretty good. I don't think the sequels are really going to get that. I think The Force Awakens is always going to be the movie that generally most people like. The Last Jedi is probably going to be the movie that people are always divisive on. And I think most people will still always just hate The Rise of Skywalker. I don't think much is going to change. You'll have, I don't think people who will go back and watch The Last Jedi will go, oh, I don't like this movie now. I think it's you're either gonna your statement on it's gonna stand. Either you liked it or hate it, or I do think people are gonna be like me and go, this isn't actually that bad. But I don't think anybody's gonna turn around and be like, this is Empire Strikes Back. You know what I mean? Like I think it's always just gonna be like The Force Awakens was the best of this trilogy, and it was all downhill after that.
All right, so Luke is basically living in solitary on Octo because he wants to he wants to die. He asks Rey a couple different times who she is, which I'm like this. Which at that point I'm like this is kind of bad. This is bad script writing because he basically says the same question almost 3 times in a row. It's like, but
And
who are you? Then she's like,
we know
and
some
then
people
she,
don't like being questioned 3 times in a row.
and then she, yeah, like. It drives him insane. Because I know like he has a right. It's like, oh, like who are you? It's like, oh, I was sent by the resistance. Who sent you? The resistance. I'm like, she just said who she was. Like, you're Luke, you would know that. And I even asked Kevin, I'm like, am I crazy? Did they ask those questions twice in a row?
No, the second question was a different question, a new line of questioning.
Well, I'm just trying to get information, man. I don't know why I had to be
Now
so consistent with the
you're
question.
just being, hey, you're looking at me,
Hey,
man. You're just
man, now
being
you're just being
rude.
rude. We gotta do that still too. We still
Yeah,
gotta do that.
I want to redo the first one, actually.
Oh yeah, that and Mission Impossible. We gotta do that too.
Absolutely, yeah.
But yeah, but so while all of this is kind of going on Octo, you know, right? Luke is gonna kind of begrudgingly train, Rey, which there's some comedic aspects to it, which I kind of chuckled at, but at the same time, like I chuckled and groaned. Like when it's like, you know, when she's sitting there and he's getting on the edge of the rock and he's like, oh, reach out, and then she's reached out with her hand. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, it's a that does it is a little like really like come on, you know. I
But then like he's got like the leaf in his hand and he's like tickling her finger. He's like, oh, I feel it. And then he smacks her with it. I'm like,
and that's
and then
great.
but yeah, I'm just like, that's Mark. Like
Yeah,
he's
like
like,
I
I'm he's like, listen, if I'm gonna do this shit, I'm gonna put this in the movie.
here's the thing. This is what doesn't this never makes sense to me. They cut her third training. It's one of the deleted scenes, and they should have left it in. There are two deleted scenes that they cut from the movie that they should have left in. The scene where Luke actually grieves Han's death and her third training. Instead of having the fucking prank phone call, and I'm sure there's a couple other dumb scenes here and there, you should have left those two scenes in the movie.
Half of
Because,
Canto Bight could
again,
have been fucking wiped out of that movie. It would have changed nothing.
I don't dislike Canto Bight. It's very prequelish to me, but it could have been cut down. Absolutely. Like we didn't need to see the full Fathear race. They could have just been like, okay, we're gonna go not race, but the escape on the back of the Fathears, right? That could have been 20, 30 seconds shorter. We could have seen Luke grieving Han's death. You know, it's a little more impactful, you know.
But that was another thing to irritate me too, is that when he says the Falcon, then he's like, where's Han? And then it cuts away.
Yeah.
It's like right there, we could have had some emotional levity of since, you know, Han was killed by Khan. And then it would give Luke even more of a, you know, I don't want to train you because now, because of where I failed, my best friend died because of it.
Exactly.
Like
I feel like
it would have had more levity to what to him saying, you know what, now I really don't want to do this because look at the pain that it's caused now.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I feel like I ever since I've come on board with this movie, and I've obviously seen those two deleted scenes, I feel like this movie desperately needs those two scenes reinserted and like a re-editing. I think this movie could be re-edited to be great. There's enough in this movie to where if you cut out some of the dumb humor and some of the dumb scenes in it, that you would turn around, not you, I'm saying in general, if you cut out the prank call and I mean, it's just the one I always go back to, but there's a couple other scenes in the movie that you could think of, trimming down Canto Bight, after Finn beats Phasma, which I actually like their fight, right? Say him going like, shoot, you're always scum, and he goes, rebel scum, like I'm fucking watching an Arnold movie from the 80s. You cut that, like, don't cut the fight out, but cut that stupid one-liner out and a couple other things and put back in her third test and Luke grieving Han's death. I think a lot more people would eventually come around and be like, this movie is actually pretty good.
Yeah,
because again,
I think it would have been better received from the jump.
Somebody like me who has come around and does like it, I still think this movie needs more to it. Like, you know what I mean?
I get you.
You know, I just everything on Octo I do like, though. I kind of like crabby Colonel Kurtz, Luke Skywalker. It doesn't bug me. It's never bugged me.
It fits with what we know of Luke already. And when he explains why he doesn't want to train anymore, you're like, oh, this makes perfect fucking sense.
And it also reinforces what I've always said, that Qui-Gon Jinn is the greatest Jedi of all time.
It's a bold statement.
Because Qui-Gon Jinn always, he was a Jedi. He believed in the Force and the light side of the Force, but he did not like the politics of the Jedi order. And the council, which is why he was never on the council.
You make these bold claims with Ki-Adi Mundi and Plo Koon on the fucking on the table. It's just disrespectful at this point.
Excuse me. But then like that little speech that Luke gives Rey of why the order fell and hubris and all that stuff. You go,
yeah,
that's exactly the shit that fucking Qui-Gon was trying to warn them about. And Dooku, like if you guys go back and watch the Tales of the Jedi, and when Dooku finds out that Qui-Gon dies, he is literally like, he died because of the council's incompetencies and they didn't listen to Dooku and listen to the Qui-Gon. And you're just like, yeah, see, like that's where I sit back and go, Rian Johnson gets Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like he gets what Lucas wanted to do.
Like Luke even says that like the Sith got to where they were and the Empire got to where they were like underneath the nose of the Jedi Order when it was at its strongest.
Exactly.
Like that's why he's like, you know, it's why he knows that it's like, there's no point in restarting the Jedi because, you know, at their strongest point, they fucking failed. So even he knows there's pointless. Why bother training you when it for him, the safest thing he can do in his mind, and it makes sense to him, is to not rebuild the Jedi Order to prevent that from happening again.
Mm-hmm.
And to him it makes sense. And from his point of view, there it is, point of view, mm-hmm. it makes absolute perfect sense. And I get listen, it.
In the Mando universe, we'll probably get him rebuilding the order and all that stuff to eventually lead to where the sequels go. I'm fine with watching him rebuild the order and seeing him be the Luke Skywalker we wanted to be. And I'm also fine with seeing him, the Luke Skywalker that he does become in the sequels. It never bothered me. That's my least thing that I complain about the sequels, is how they handle Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
Speaking of Luke Skywalker, let's talk about that. What do you think of the Luke and Yoda scene?
It felt like Empire and Jedi.
Mm-hmm. It's
the most Star Wars thing in this movie.
I love it.
And then Yoda's sitting there and he's just like, you know, Matt, there's like, oh, young Skywalker, you've never learned. Yeah. You know, it's beautiful.
It's a great scene because like the words are true. Like failure is your greatest lesson. It's your greatest teacher. You will always learn from your failure. Well, most people will learn from their failures, right? It's the greatest way to learn is by failing.
Yeah.
If you know, and
Why do we fall?
Exactly. To pick ourselves back up. You never gave up on it, did you, Alfred?
Never.
Yeah, and it's my favorite scene in the movie. I absolutely adore that scene. I loved it 7 years ago, right? And listen, you're talking about somebody who loves the entire pretty much third act of this film. I think the Battle of Crait, all that stuff is fucking awesome. But that scene with him and Yoda looks almost as good as it did in Empire, because they were able to find the molds for his eyes and all that stuff, and the puppet. They did the very best to try to make him look like he did in Empire. Frank Oz came back for the voice. And it's a really beautiful scene. I think it's the best scene in the entire trilogy.
All right, well, let's go from the best scene to some questionable scenes.
Can't go to the worst, because we already had that
one. Yeah, we've already been there. I mean, we can't get much worse until we do the next movie, but there's also this thing where the First Order has been tracking the Resistance. It's just weird. I could just say Empire and Rebels and it really wouldn't change anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's another flaw of this trilogy as well.
Is that they're using light speed tracking, or that they're tracking through light speed. So, we know it's only the lead ship, so we have to jam it. Well, you have to go get a codebreaker. Where's the codebreaker? He's on Canto Bight. And the way Maz Butthole Eyes described this character, he's a poet with a blaster. I'm like, she's describing Lando to a fucking T.
Yeah.
And then it's not Lando. they go to Canto Bight, which is like this casino plant. It's like, oh, it's the worst place in the universe. And I'm like, well, they've already told me once that that Mos Eisley was a wretched hive of scum and villainy. So you can't tell me there's another one. And then it's a casino planet. It's like, oh, I get it. You're taking a shot at the upper 1%. I got it. Thanks.
Which, I mean,
I know rich. Are rich people awful? Yeah, we know.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, you know what though?
Would have been at that casino losing money on dollar slots and then going to get in gelato. So we can't even sit here and act like casinos are the worst of the worst. People like us are
gonna do
hanging
that
around
in a few weeks. Probably gonna do that in a few weeks. So
aren't you doing that?
You and me. But you know, again, I'm not gonna argue about politics in Star Wars when that's all Star Wars really is politics, right?
Yeah.
And I think it makes sense, right? Like, I think, you know, when they're on that ship and DJ is like, you know, just be careful, you know, doesn't matter what size you choose, Finn.
Yeah.
It kind of makes sense. Like that.
Yeah,
that
he's absolutely, 30, absolutely right.
30 years on, you don't think that they were doing the same thing? They want war because war is profitable.
Yeah.
War is always profitable for governments and rich people.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Once they break out with DJ, who is not the code breaker with the balloon, that's with somebody else that will never get an answer to.
It was Justin Theroux's character.
Yeah.
He had the plume on his
which I would have wanted to see
been
more
Lando,
Justin
though.
It 100% should have been Lando. Or at least somebody from like Cloud City
Lobot.
Lobot. It should have been Lobot.
All he does is point forward and then everybody
Yeah, absolutely. But even like DJ, like when they break DJ out and they're on the ship and he goes, oh, well, let's see who this ship belongs to. It's like, oh, it belonged to, you know, a guy who's like, oh, look, he sold weapons to the bad guys. Oh, and to the good guys. Like, so they know that there is no good and bad.
Yeah.
No, you just don't pick the sides or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know? And then also at the same time, all this is happening over on the Resistance ship, Leia's in a coma. So the control now goes to Vice Admiral Holdo, which is this Laura Dern, the slackest jaw in Hollywood, in her purple hair. And she doesn't want to tell Poe the mission. And
so I see this from two different ways, right? I see this as somebody who served in the military.
Right.
Like, you're not going to have somebody come up there and be like, I demand to know what happens, right? A lot of stuff that they don't tell you, right? Need to know basis and stuff like that happens. But I also feel that in the terms of a movie, her plan could have been executed better had she just told everybody what was going on.
Right.
There was no reason for her to be that secretive and that cunty.
Like
to Poe Dameron. That's
like,
the problem with her character.
Like she could have done like all of that would have made sense if there was like maybe, oh, you know, there's probably like a mole on this ship who's working for the First right. Order. Like that, like I understand if you're being secretive, that's why, but you're being a cunt for the sake of being a cunt. Mm-hmm. Like your forces are depleted. I mean, despite Poe's emotion, he's still the best pilot that you have. And yes, you know, he did get the whole bomb squad basically destroyed, but still at least let him have an inkling, be like, listen, I can't tell you everything. You just have to put trust in what's going. You just have to trust the process. Forgive me for using that, but I had to do it. But yeah, like Poe didn't need to also go off like, I need to know what's going on. It's like, dude, you've got people killed because of your hubris, because you wanted to take down a dreadnought. I mean, yes, you succeeded, but how many people went down with you?
Yeah, exactly.
Including the general. Including Leia. Sorry, I kind of spaced out. So I get both sides of the coin. Poe does need to know because he got demoted. He doesn't need to know. But at the same time, she should have had a little more faith in Poe. Yes, he's a hothead and a flyboy that she's seen a million times. And I don't know, somehow Snap actually survived this movie, and it just makes me upset. I mean, he won't survive the next one, but it makes me mad that Snap Wexley survived more movies than in this trilogy than Han Solo did.
That's true.
Wedge Antilles should have been in this fucking movie somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I agree. You don't have to tell me twice about Wedge.
Yep. So Rey ends up, what is it? How does Rey end up on Snoke's ship? Did I miss that part?
She, her and Chewie leave Octo, and then basically she takes an escape pod. Chewie basically drops her off around that area. It's kind of nonsensical how it happens. So she takes an escape pod out of the Falcon, and then they pull her into Snoke's ship with a tractor beam. I guess she somehow through the Force dyad, which I think I know he's coming up. Through the Force dyad, which I think is a cool concept.
It is.
You know, like told Kylo that she was coming, you know?
Yeah.
So
I mean, it kind of reveals that Snoke is the one who's kind of putting them together through the Force, how they're able to see each other.
I like Snoke in this movie. Like when I watch this movie, I go, God, I actually kind of dig this character. CGI on him is incredible, by the way.
Yeah.
And then I just go,
Andy Serkis.
Yeah. And then I just go, but it's all ruined in the next fucking movie. Yeah. Like the Star Wars geek in me would have been like, oh God, this would have been great if it was Darth Plagueis, right? But then there's also the part of me that goes, I didn't need to know who the fuck this guy was. Who cares? You know what I mean? Like, who gives a shit? Kylo Ren should have been the big bad guy this trilogy. But no, somehow Palpatine returned.
I mean,
but I listen, I
what'd you think of the fight? You know, after, I mean, you know, we're, I mean, it shows how powerful Snoke is with the Force. You know, like Rey goes to take the lightsaber with the Force, and then Snoke's just like, yeah, no. Like,
yeah,
I'm going to take it back and hit you in the head with it.
Again, I dug all of this. I really do like the throne room scene, that whole battle with the Praetorian guards.
The fight choreography was really good.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. I really do like it. And I'm for all the faults of this movie, when I saw this in theaters, when Kylo tricks Snoke and he cuts Snoke in half, my entire theater applauded. Like, I think that was that's a great scene. But then it's even better when you come to find out he's like, no, he just wants power for himself. He ain't turning good. He's turning more evil. And that's what again, there's two things that they fucked up with after this movie. Kylo should have went even more evil. And Rey should have stayed a nobody. Because I like the fact that Rey was a nobody.
Yeah.
I thought she would have been a Skywalker or a Kenobi, but when it was revealed to her being a nobody, I was like, I'm okay with this. Like, this isn't the worst thing in the world. Like, she could have been something stupid, like, I don't know, related to the old woman who told Annie to better get inside because there's a storm coming. You know what I mean? But they didn't. You know, it could have been something stupid like
she
that.
Could have, like, she could have been the daughter of the fucking bartender in Mos Eisley, you know, in the fucking cantina. Like, yeah, no, we don't serve their kind
here.
Yeah.
Or she could have been the granddaughter of, like, Jocasta New. Like, oh, cool. The woman who had one scene in Attack of the Clones, who was the custodian of the Jedi Archives. Like, yeah. You know, like, it could have been something like that. You make her nobody. Okay, you believe it, right? However you want to decide how Anakin was conceived, right? You could always look at the fact that the Force chose Rey this time around, who, mm-hmm. you know, and she's the one that's, it's now her turn to overthrow evil, which I guess is kind of what happened, but then they were just like, you are a Palpatine. It's like, okay, fucking.
It's like, oh, fucking thanks. Here we go.
Dismissive wanking motion.
Exactly. So it turns out that Holdo's entire plan, holy shit, that came out quick. It turns out Holdo's whole plan is to load everybody into the escape pods and go down to the nearby planet of Crait, where there is an abandoned resistance base, rebel space, whatever the fuck you mm-hmm. want to call it.
And listen,
because they know that they are not going to waste the firepower going after like escape pods.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, but then when it turns out that they start doing that, Holdo's like, well, fuck you. And for all intents and purposes, and I can't believe I'm even saying this, like, cause I hated this at first,
mm-hmm.
but going back and seeing it, it's a fucking great shot. And it's where Holdo turns the ship around, kicks mm-hmm. it into light speed, and tears right through fucking Snoke's ship. Because yeah. it looks fucking great.
Yeah, it does. Like, I enjoy it.
It is a visually fantastic shot.
I was at, when I saw this in theaters, and again, I was just sitting in the movies going like, man, this movie is stupid. But when that happened, even I was like, whoa, that is fucking cool looking. Like that
it
was cool.
Looked good. Right? It looked you fucking
know,
good.
I know a lot of people always say like, oh, it should have been Ackbar. And I'm like, what do you want him to do? Turn around and go, it's a trap. Like it's a
fucking... I mean, I would have.
But that's something that like J.J. Abrams would have done in Rise of Skywalker. You know what I mean? Like, like it is.
Or I'm up or it's like, open a channel to the ship. General Hux. It's a trap. And then hits it.
Yeah. But let's talk about
as he screams Leroy Jenkins flying into the fucking ship.
Let's talk about the battle of Crait for the last few minutes we got here, because I don't want to take another break.
Yeah, because this is about where we're at.
Yeah, we're pretty much at the end of the movie and stuff like that. I have always liked the battle of Crait. I thought it was a cool looking planet. I think this is how you do a planet, something that's similar but different, right? Of course, it's supposed to harken back to the way that Hoth looks, right? That was snow, this is salt. Right. But it's not the same. Right. Like in J.J. Abrams was like, let's go back to a desert planet, but we're going to call it Jakku instead of Tatooine. Right. Yeah. Let's go to a snow planet, but we're going to call it Starkiller Base, which ended up being actually Ilum. You know, but it's not going to be Hoth.
Let's go to another cantina, but it's not Mos Eisley.
Right. So it's like this is how you go. OK, we're going to homage Hoth, the Battle of Hoth, but we'll change a few things. I've always thought Crait was a cool concept, right? Salt, whatever. But like the red surface, and then when Chewie goes underground and is flying around in the caverns, love that. I got a piece of art of that on my fucking wall. I got a piece of art of Luke staring down the fucking AT-ATs on my fucking wall. A piece of art of it. Everything on the Battle of Crait I thought was fantastic. Fantastic. Everything. Luke showing up. You know, he obviously now you notice, go, oh, his feet aren't making any fucking imprints in the salt, right? The goodbye, basically the goodbye to Leia. Mm-hmm. I thought it was all great. All great. Showing how unhinged Kylo Ren actually is. That's how you show somebody kind of unhinged. Not like, mishmash, mishmash, I'm angry.
Show he's him like, I want fucking, every single gun focused on that man.
You show him being an actual loose cannon. Like, he's so unhinged.
I will say this. I thought there were two really fucking stupid scenes on Crait. The first being when the resistance is outside and they got their guns focused, and the one resistance guy puts his hand down in the salt, puts his mouth, he goes, it's salt. And then that's the whole scene. I'm like, was this purely exposition tell me what it was? I didn't even know it was salt.
What are you talking about? I'm a Jedi like my father before me. It's salt. They're one and the same.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Excuse me. Fucking forgot. Unlimited power and it's salt.
Salt.
Like, I thought that was just stupid. And then, oh my God, the fucking old fucking potato Tico ruining what could have been a great moment for Finn and a good closeout for his character.
Yeah, I think I still stand by my statement. I think Finn should have sacrificed himself there. I would be fine with that. And listen, I'm not trying, I'm not going to bash Kelly Marie Tran. First and first, she's actually a very attractive woman, right? And who's actually pretty thin. But they made her costume look like a potato sack.
Yeah, she looked like a sack of Idaho potatoes.
Yeah, her costume and her hair did not do her any justice, right?
She also is not great at reading dialogue because a lot of the dialogue problems are her and John Boyega.
Yeah, I didn't love her in this movie. You know, is she a bad character? No, I don't think the concept of her character is bad. I just think
they should have had maybe a better actress in that role,
or maybe probably do more than one take or two takes. You know, I'm sure, you know, something like that.
Maybe spend a little time on it.
Yeah.
You know, the whole, you know, like her knocking his ship out of the way. What if she killed him?
Yeah.
What if they killed him? Oh, and I have another question. I meant to ask you this. I was gonna text you, but no, I'm gonna fucking just ask you one here. When Kylo is firing every single gun and laser at Luke when he's sitting there, and then after it stops, 2 seconds later, you see Finn dragging Rose into the opening on the crate. How the fuck did they survive that?
I
guess Luke's right outside. Because Luke's right outside the opening. How was Finn able to drag Rose across the surface of crate while there's all these lasers barreling down on Luke when he's standing in front of the door that they have to get into?
You know, I'd have to go back and kind of pay attention to that again. That's an excellent question.
But yeah,
that's an excellent question.
I mean,
and then I like how he's egging. I don't like how he like does the whole like
brush his shoulder off.
I didn't like that, but I like how he just eggs on Kylo Ren the whole
because time. He should have done that and then did the five knuckle shuffle.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. I like how he just eggs him on the whole time, and you're just seeing like, okay, this guy's fucking a ninja. He's got mental issues, right? And I've said it before. I had no problem with him being the projection. I did not need him to come out there, and I'm going to keep saying it. I didn't need him to be Goku and, you know, just be this all-powerful being because I feel like it just wasn't needed, right? You can see how powerful he is when he force projections.
Yeah.
You know? And I was okay. I'm okay with him dying. I'm just not okay with him dying when Carrie Fisher's dead.
Yeah.
So
we got a few minutes left.
Yeah, we're kind of right
through the, yeah.
So, George, least favorite scene?
It's the Mary Poppins scene. I just can't get past it. I mean, I know with you, it's the prank call, which I don't like the prank call either.
Yeah. I mean, the Mary Poppins scene is one of my least favorite scenes in the movie, but that prank call is just so, so bad. Favorite scene?
My favorite scene, it's Luke showing up. Not him, like, not the fight, but like when he just, like when he walks through the opening, like goes up to Leia, like it's Shroud, and then you see it's Luke. It's like, oh, fuck, like he's here. Like, I get chills because it's Luke.
Yeah. Mine is, I said it before, it's the scene of him and Yoda. I do want to bring up one more thing, though, because I remember people used to bitch about this, just really quick. When Luke and Rey have, like, a duel on Octo, I want to remind everybody, he does defeat her.
Yeah.
He only trips backwards because she pulls out a fucking lightsaber, and he doesn't know who this bitch is. She might try to strike him down.
Yeah.
He does defeat her in that fight, by the way.
Yeah, he does.
So.
Yes, he does. There.
So, George, what do you give it out of 10?
5.
Okay. When I first saw this movie, I gave it a 4 7 years ago. I am...
The bad outweighs the good for me.
Right. I am at... That's where I'm at with it. I can't remember what I gave The Force Awakens. I think that was right around a 7, 7.5. Like, I don't think this movie's miles better than The Force Awakens. I just think it's a better movie overall. So, but I, if it's right, it's right around the same score for me. There's the good outweighs the bad for me, but there is enough bad in this to be like, yeah, it needs a lot of work. But that's The Last Jedi, everybody. For my birthday, we got two more Star Wars movies coming up, one in September this year, one for February next year, and we're done with Star Wars for now, at least, I guess. I don't know. Happy birthday to me, everybody. You can suck it. I've been Dean Holtzapfel.
I'm still George Rogers. We'll see you in the multiverse.